Good evening and welcome to Monday's correspondence highlights from the Conservative Party conference in Birmingham. With me is our chief political correspondent, John Craig. So, John, we started off with Chancellor Philip Hammond striking a slightly different tone with regards to the EU today.
Philip Hammond, of course, is the big remainer in the cabinet and distrusted by many Conservative MPs who believe he's trying to thwart or block Brexit. But, of course, he talked about Brexit in his speech. He said that he backed the Prime Minister, as you might expect. He's one of her leading supporters, if not the leading supporter of her Chequers strategy. But at the same time, he made a passionate defence, really, of capitalism. Last week at the Labour Party conference, we heard from Mr Corbyn talking about the greed is good capitalism and how Labour were going to fight to change that. Well, here we had a speech that was very much taking on Mr Corbyn, on the economy, on defending capitalism and saying that the Tories' way was better for people's well-being and their future and their right and their standard of living than the Labour way. He talked also a lot about building for the future. He mentioned his children and his grandchildren a few times during the speech. And it was a long speech, a thoughtful speech, a lot in it. Remember, it was delivered exactly 4 weeks before his budget, which is on October the 29th. And I thought in some of the things he said, there were some pointers, really, from what we can expect in the budget when he talked about apprenticeships, helping small firms and so on, and in building for the future. Here's a taster of what he said.
The model that has delivered 200 years of economic growth, that has seen living standards in this country more than double in my lifetime, that has lifted countless hundreds of millions out of poverty around the world and has secured our precious freedoms and our liberties down the ages, is rejected out of hand by Corbyn and MacDonnell in favour of the failed and faded ideologies of socialism.
You say the Chancellor there giving a defence of capitalism, but then someone on the right of the party might think it a bit ironic that he used it to announce two new taxes.
Yes, he did say that, of course, things like extra money for the National Health Service has got to be paid for. And, of course, there was a warning, I guess, that we can expect some tax rises in the budget when it comes in 4 weeks' time. It was a pretty steady performance from the Chancellor, spreadsheet Phil, they call him, or even a few jokes in there. A few jokes at the expense of his deputy, the Chief Secretary Liz Truss. But at the same time, a sort of dry humour we've come to expect from Philip Hammond. He's not a great orator. When you think back to previous Chancellors, you think perhaps Gordon Brown, you think of Kenneth Clark, of course, were great conference speakers. Well, he's not a great orator by any means, but it was a pretty steady performance from spreadsheet Phil, as he's known, and as I say, a taster really what we can expect in 4 weeks' time.
And we also heard from the Brexit Secretary. He seemed to be sort of paving the way for a no deal almost, seemed to be sort of reassuring people that the consequences might not be as bad as the people have been predicting.
Well, Dominic Raab, of course, unlike the Chancellor, is a big Brexiteer. He's one of the leading campaigners for Brexit. Yes, he was talking about preparations being made and also talking about it's about time that Brussels woke up and realised that they've got to start making some concessions if there's going to be a deal. Now, over the past couple of days, the Prime Minister, both in a Sunday Times interview and also in a television interview, has talked about how Chequers is the best plan at the moment, which has led to a lot of speculation that perhaps, is she going to move a little, compromise a little, concede a little? Well, Mr. Raab, who he talks a much tougher game than his predecessor David Davis, and he, of course, is a leading Brexiteer, but at the same time, of course, all his friends on the Tory right don't mind they rather like the idea of no deal, and so he has some sympathy with him. This is a little bit of what he said in his speech.
Do I think the deal we're pursuing is perfect? Of course not. Is it everything I wanted? No, it isn't. This is a negotiation. There have been compromises. We're not decoupling or as quickly or as completely as some would like.
And of course, the shadow of Boris is still very much over the conference. He's arriving tomorrow. What can we expect?
We haven't heard any references to Boris Johnson in the speeches on the platform on day two of this conference, unlike on day one when Lord Digby Jones, in a real after-dinner style speech, really ripped into Boris Johnson, said he was an irrelevance and seriously offensive. But in interviews, Mr. Hammond and others have criticised Boris Johnson over his latest attack on the Prime Minister, which was an interview in the Sunday Times, in which he said the Chequers plan was deranged. A lot of MPs found that quite offensive. I've been speaking to a few senior Tory politicians here who are thoroughly fed up with Boris Johnson. He is arriving and he is due to speak at a big rally on the eve of the Prime Minister's big speech on the final day. Now, I've covered these before for Sky News. He has for some time now come and given these, spoken at these rallies here at the party conference, and he gets treated like a god, like a rock star when he arrives. It's worth comparing the reception he gets from the Tory faithful with the sort of reception that Jeremy Corbyn gets from his left-wing supporters in the Labour Party. The difference being, of course, that Mr Corbyn is the incumbent leader of his party, whereas Boris Johnson, of course, is desperately campaigning to be leader of his. Well, there are plenty of people who want to stop that happening, but the fact is the Tory grassroots love him. The Tory party, don't forget, has always loved a glamorous blonde. Margaret Thatcher, Michael Heseltine, and now Boris Johnson. And I've been struck round walking around this conference just how many people are wearing these little badges that say Chuck Chequers. Most of the activists seem to be. And at fringe meetings where you've had the likes of Jacob Rees-Mogg, David Davis, and indeed Nigel Farage from UKIP speaking, they've all been getting great receptions. And there's no doubt that here, the activists, the vast majority of the activists, are huge Boris fans, whereas the vast majority of Conservative MPs are fed up with him.
Yeah, speaking to one or two activists as well, a couple think he maybe has overplayed his hand a bit, though, this time with some of his comments. And maybe, like you say, we've had this with the last few conferences where there's a big media scrum when he arrives and everyone gets very excited. But it's been going on for a few years now. Do you think his time has passed, or is it actually finally come now?
Well, we don't know whether his time has come, because we don't know whether he's going to force Theresa May out. Every year, the last year or so, I suppose, we've been thinking, oh, is this Theresa May's last speech as Tory leader? When is there going to be a leadership contest? My hunch is that she's probably a bit more resilient than those who want to get rid of her think. I mean, I can well recall the 1990s when John Major was said to be on the way out all the time, and yet he survived right up until 1997. Now, he faced a leadership challenge from John Redwood, saw him off. He appointed Michael Heseltine as his deputy. The other thing John Major had in his favour, which Theresa May does not have quite to the same extent, he had the Tory big beasts in the cabinet, like, we've mentioned them, Michael Heseltine, Ken Clark, batting for him and robustly taking on Mr Major's opponents. Now, there are no substantial figures in the current cabinet like Michael Heseltine or Ken Clark. Theresa May has allies in the cabinet, but they're people like David Lidington, the Chancellor of the Exchequer. They're not big heavyweight figures like the big names of the past, and that is a problem for her. Boris Johnson, well, he will get a shot at the leadership, of course. His big hurdle is getting on the ballot paper. The system of electing a Conservative Party leader is that the MPs choose two candidates and those two go to a ballot of the members. The biggest hurdle for Boris Johnson is getting on the ballot paper, because he has, with many of his outspoken comments, particularly the more recent ones, the suicide vest comment where he was talking about Chequers and saying that the PM was deranged. A lot of loyalist Tory MPs, and even some who are quite sympathetic to him, are pretty disgusted by those comments. And he has got some enemies in the Conservative Party amongst the MPs, like, for example, his former number two at the Foreign Office, who's still there, Sir Alan Duncan, who's pledged to do everything he can to stop Mr. Johnson becoming leader. In his Sunday Times interview, when the political editor of the Sunday Times, Tim Shipman, asked Mr. Johnson about the criticism from Alan Duncan, who is not the tallest Member of Parliament, Boris Johnson said he should pick on someone his own size.
Boris Johnson was his boss as well until
That's
a couple
right.
of weeks ago.
He was, yes.
Yeah, you talk about the parliamentary party, but of course there's the European Research Group, which has got, which I think would be more than enough if they were to unite behind Boris. It would be enough to put him forward. So that brings Jacob Rees-Mogg into play, another one who's seen as maybe a dark horse for the leadership.
I think he's a very dark horse. He's never had any ministerial office. I am not convinced that the members of the European Research Group will all necessarily fall behind Boris Johnson. They make a lot of noise, the European Research Group, and they hold fringe meetings, which are very well attended by their fans. But when it comes to their actual meetings, remember a few weeks ago there were claims that at a meeting of European Research Group members at in Parliament a few weeks back, it was claimed they were openly discussing getting rid of Theresa May. Well, that turned out to be rather overblown, and it turned out to be just what people you might call the usual suspects, well-known critics of Theresa May like Andrew Bridgen, Northwest Leicestershire MP, who were calling for her to go. I don't think we should write Theresa May off just yet.
Have to see what she comes back with from Brussels, I suppose.
Yes, that summit is on the 18th and 19th of October. Before that, of course, she goes back to the Commons. After this is the last conference apart from the SNP meeting in Glasgow next week. Commons is back next Tuesday, so she's back in Westminster for a week or two. Cabinet will be meeting again, of course, and that summit is the 18th and 19th of October.
Cheers for that, John. We'll be back again tomorrow. We'll be looking back at Boris Johnson's arrival here at the conference.